church in Dallas, and I just like the way they did it, the way they ended it, and powerful song, "Worthy is the Lamb." Well, we have a couple of videos. I just want to come up and introduce them. This being Sanctity of Life Sunday, the one is called Sanctity of Life, Life Inspiration. And it just has some sayings that people have used. You'll recognize some of the people. And then the second one's the Sanctity of Life Sunday for 2020. It's the official video. So, Joe, if you'd get those, and be right back.
A person's a person, no matter how small. Dr. Seuss. It is a poverty that a child must die, so that you may live as you wish. Mother Teresa. To say a child is unwanted says nothing about the child. Jean Garten. I've noticed that everyone who is for abortion is already born. Ronald Reagan. If it seems horrible to kill a man in his own house, it ought surely to be deemed more atrocious to destroy a fetus in the womb. John Calvin. How can the dreams survive if we murder the children? Dr. Alveda King. The soul begins at conception. Life begins when the soul begins. Tertullian. Remember the 40 million American children that were never born. Margaret Collin. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, and before you were born, I consecrated you. God. I have set before you life and death. Now choose life. God. Just ask you to open your wide, wide arms and lead us and let us know what we should do to stop this terrible, terrible Holocaust. Norma McCorvey, formerly Jane Roe.
Thank you.
obviously our culture doesn't look at those the way we do. They don't look at life the way we look at life. There's no value given to life. And this is Sanctity of Human Life Sunday. I don't know how many churches around the country are honoring today. I don't know if any others in our area are, but we do every year. I don't know if watching the babies and thinking how many were not born, if that does something to you, hopefully it moves you. Hopefully it brings you to tears. Hopefully it wants to stir you to some type of action. But we serve a God who created life. He's the sustainer of life. He's the giver of life. He's the provider of life. And we're too silent, I believe, as Christians about this whole topic. But we've gotten to the point where not only infants in the womb, but as we get older, aging people have no value anymore, the world tells us. The world tells us if you can't contribute, if you have a mental or physical disability, there's really no value in your life. And that's what socialism wants to do. When we were in Africa, we saw children who were abandoned because there were a lot of albino children, very obviously sticking out in the black society, who were kind of outcasts. We saw kids with cleft lips or missing an eye or face deformed or missing a limb who were just thrown out. And it's coming to America. It's here. It's not just coming to America. It's here. But I just want to remind us this morning of some verses that we have that talk about life. Let's move it on. It's not letting you do it.
Jesus, your name.
But some verses that I have on screen. I don't have my mic in my notes here.
Jesus, your name.
Let me just turn back there. Psalm 139.
Jesus, your name will break every stronghold.
Sorry about that. I thought we had a
Jesus, your name.
Psalm 139, verses 13 to 16. We use these almost every year. But it says, "For you formed my inner parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was being made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed substance. In the book, in your book, they were written, every one of them, names of one of them, when yet there was not one of them. God had set up a life. God knew the number of days before we even came about, before this person was even born. God knew what he was doing. Isaiah chapter 49, verse 1, it says, "Listen to me, O coastlands, and give attention, you people from afar. The Lord called you from the womb. The body of my mother, he named my name." This is Jeremiah talking about, Isaiah talking about his call. God, he said, God called me from the womb. He knew me from the womb. Jeremiah chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. And this again, Jeremiah talking about his call. The little Lord came to me. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I appointed you a prophet to the nations. So God is calling people before they're even born. While they're in the womb, God called Isaiah. God called Jesus. God called Jeremiah.
Jesus, your name will
break. Here's one more. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 16 and 17. Do you not know that you are God's temple? God's spirit dwells in you. If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. For God's temple is you, and you are that temple.
Jesus,
if anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy him. I've said this every year, and I believe that the biggest travesty, the biggest sin in America is the destruction of human life. We need to pray, we need to be involved. what's going on in our society. We're going to watch another video in just a moment. But there are times when we pray in faith. We trust that God is going to do something. We trust that He's going to move in hearts and He's going to accomplish His will in things that we pray for. And we have been praying for years that abortion will be completely overthrown. And I want to tell you something that's probably not a secret. Maybe you're going to be surprised that I say this, but I don't believe it's going to occur in America. I don't believe abortion is going to be defeated. Not that God cannot do it, but I believe man's heart is so vile. Man's heart is so wicked, and it's turned to satanic things that the majority, as we know, the broad is the way that leads to destruction. I think there's so many already going down this path that God can move in individual hearts, God can stir in families' hearts, but I'm not sure that it's ever going to be overthrown as a nation. We might see the laws changed, and we're praying that some more pro-life judges will be put on Supreme Court. That would be awesome. We could put an end to it being legal, but it's never going to be defeated. I just know there's going to be too many back alley abortion clinics. And people are still going to end their child's life because we have no value of life. But what we're going to see here in a few minutes is something that I said in the newsletter. I'm going to share some stuff with you that's a little frightening. Abortion is being pushed on young people, especially young ladies. And I'm talking about being pushed on them, being presented that this is the proper thing. The magazine Teen Vogue, over the past number of years, last two or three years, has done some horrible, horrible articles promoting abortion. They're instructing these young teenage girls who read, and I hope none of you here read that. If you have it in your home, get rid of it. But they're instructing young girls that abortion is a popular thing to do. It's the right thing to do. In the last couple of years, they had some articles, and I went back and I never read all the articles. I did read them a couple of them online, but obviously I don't get the magazine. But here's some titles over the last few years: "My Body, My Choice." Here's a good one: "How to Get an Abortion If You Are a Teen." "What to Give Your Friend Post-Abortion." "What to Get a Friend Post-Abortion." In other words, here's gifts that you can get your friend who's decided to get an abortion. And the video that we're going to watch here in a few minutes addresses some of those. But here's a couple of quotes from just articles this past year. Listen to how stupid these arguments are. This is what the first one says. "It's only logical that if a teen is mature enough to become a parent, they are mature enough to decide whether they want to give birth. Having access to abortion should be your right regardless of your parents' beliefs." It doesn't matter what your parents say. As a matter of fact, your parents don't even need to know that you're getting an abortion because you're old enough to carry a baby, so you're old enough to make a decision. You're wise enough. You're mature enough. How stupid is that? I know some young ladies who've gotten pregnant who were not mature. Here's this one. This is the argument that our world gives us. "Unborn children," this is in an article, "unborn children have no rights, but teenage children should have all rights to get an abortion." "Unborn children have no rights," capital N, capital O, in the article. "Unborn children have no rights, but teenage children should have all the rights to get an abortion." Amazing. And that's what is being promoted to people today. I've put a number of things on social media the last number of years, and over the last few months I've put some on. I've taken some of you probably have seen some of the comments that I've gotten. Good friends of ours, they've been to church. They were here. He was from India. She was one of my students in China, a very, very deliberate in letting you know she doesn't believe in Christ, doesn't believe in salvation, doesn't believe any of that. She is Chinese. And she just posted a picture with the guy from New York who's running for president. What's his name? Not Bloomberg, yes. And she was down in Texas and saying what a great guy he is. And someone wrote to her and said, you know, his wanting to get rid of guns is one thing. And somebody else said something about abortion. And she just kind of poo-pooed it and made it sound like it's nothing. I put on something maybe a month ago about the right to life. And her husband wrote to me and really reamed me out saying that, you know, you're not taking care of the children that are in the world already. How can you bring your religion into politics? And I didn't respond right away. And I thought, I know people were watching that because a couple people commented to me. So I wrote back and just said, you know, I kind of laid it all on the line to him. And he's heard salvation from us before. He never responded back. But she is a girl who was born and raised in communist China, and she's for socialism. And I want to get a hold of her sometime and say her name, we call her Jessica, that's her English name. I say, Jessica, what about socialism in communist China did you like? Why are you here in America? If it was so great there, why are you here? I don't understand. I don't know how someone from communist China can be for socialism. But anyway, those are things that are being promoted. And when you take a stand for life, don't expect to be popular. Don't expect to have everyone say, oh, yeah, it's great. You're right. Because young people are being told that it's good. Young people are being told that if you have a life within you, go ahead and destroy it. That's the popular thing to do. We're going to watch a video from a young girl, a pro-life girl, 16 years old. And how she handles this is amazing. The way she talks, her delivery, she acts like she's a 40-year-old. But her comments are powerful. I want you to it might not be, it's going to be strong. It might not be appropriate for all kids. But as I thought about that, I want you to understand as parents, you feel free to keep them here because I'd rather hear kids hear from the Christian perspective in the church than hear it in the world. And I guarantee you they are hearing this stuff in the world. So here's a girl's response to Teen Magazine, Vogue.
Hello, my name is Autumn, and I'm 16 and would like to talk to you about an article recently posted by Teen Vogue called What to Get a Friend Post-Abortion. And since I'm a teen, this was directed towards me and I would like to respond. The point of the article was to make the situation seem as lighthearted and nonchalant as possible in order to convince girls my age that abortion is no big deal. Well, we need to clarify one thing first. Abortion is a big deal, a very big deal. And to say it is not is simply feeding us a lie. Right off the bat, Teen Vogue said, quote, look, making this decision is never simple, and having to make it as a teenager is more than a little terrifying, but it shouldn't have to be so scary, unquote. Okay, which is it? Is it more than a little terrifying, or is it not so scary? You can't have it both ways. It's one or the other. So the article said it doesn't have to be so scary, but I think we can all agree abortion is scary. No one skips into that room as if they're getting their hair highlighted or their nails painted. And just for the record, the thought of going into a room and having my baby surgically removed from my body is both terrifying and scary. And none of these gifts would make me feel better. And if they did make me feel better, that would mean I need serious counseling. Teen Vogue, you should be held accountable for this disgusting and disrespectful article. You trivialized an issue that leaves millions of women struggling every day. Such a blasé approach hurts women who regret their abortions. It minimizes their pain. So let's go through a couple of the ideas for post-abortive girls provided by Teen Vogue. Gift number one, a funny movie. Let's look at what this is saying. We understand that you've had a rough day, so here's a funny movie to get your mind off of it. You know when this would be appropriate? After your friend got their wisdom teeth taken out, not after they've had an abortion. How offensive to think a comedy would be a good antidote for the pain your friend might be feeling. Number two, underwear that you can rock after your abortion. Now, this one is pretty unbelievable, so I'm going to read a part of the article for you. Quote, If you haven't already heard about Think's underwear, then I'm about to rock your world. These revolutionary panties allow you to free bleed like our foremothers wished they could. Technically, they're made for your period, but that's no reason not to rock them for your post-abortion woes. Especially because there will be blood. Unquote. Do I even need to explain why this is so deplorable? The language and flippant tone is appalling. Who would even consider rocking underwear after experiencing an abortion? Yes, there will be blood, because that's what happens after a pregnancy ends, and it's traumatizing. And cool underwear won't fix it or make it all better. Number 3, angry uterus heating pad. This is a heating pad shaped as a uterus with an angry, mad face on it. Teen Vogue said, quote, likely worse than any period symptoms you've ever experienced. You'll love it. It's like two throbbing hot balls of lead are trying to escape your body, all while your stomach contracts over and over again. Huzzah! Unquote. Remember in the beginning of the article when they said abortion doesn't have to be so scary? Well, this sounds pretty scary to me. A creepy little gag gift is not going to counteract the feelings of hot lead balls escaping your body. Number 4, girl power hat. Is this really the time for that? I just ended my baby's life. Girl power. Are they insinuating that girls who celebrate their abortions understand girl power more than girls who regret them or refuse to have them? And by the way, how many aborted babies have been girls? What about their rights? When do girls begin to have power? And how powerful do you have to be to destroy the most helpless of people? To me, abortion seems like the opposite of girl power. It is the most invasive and degrading thing that could happen to a girl. And my version of girl power is knowing that I am valuable and precious. I am grateful I was allowed to live, and I want all girls and boys to have that same right. This is a human rights issue, not a girl power movement. Number 5, F uterus pin. Yep, you heard that right, an F uterus pin. I see a hidden motive here. They mentioned that this would be an armor in which to defend yourself against insensitive jerks asking about why you've had an abortion. One, how would they even know you've had an abortion? I guess unless you're wearing an F uterus pin. And two, some of the proceeds go to Planned Parenthood. So I think the motive here is to support Planned Parenthood rather than being there for your friend. 6, become an abortion clinic escort. In no way are children qualified to escort someone into a clinic to have an abortion. Teen Vogue, are you really encouraging teens to go be abortion escorts? Do you really think we, minors, have the tools to deal with that kind of pressure on an ongoing basis? Number 7, a needlepoint that reads, we won't go back. I'm only 16 and know that guilt follows women for years after abortions. And I also know a cross stitch isn't going to change that. But this article said, quote, there is nothing to be ashamed of or feel guilty about. If girls are being told this, no wonder our culture has become so desensitized to the idea of taking the life of a baby. It's only after it happens and the guilt plagues them and the depression drags them down that they look at the cross stitch on the wall that their friend gave them and think, I actually wish I could go back. But sadly, by then it's too late, and the we won't go back turns into we can't go back, which unfortunately is something women only realize after they've had an abortion. This article made light of a heart-wrenching issue. Trivializing abortion doesn't do anyone any good. Joking about it is incredibly offensive to all involved. Do you know what I want to tell girls who've had abortions? I want them to know that there are organizations out there that will help them where they're at. There are places that will provide counseling, such as Rachel's Vineyard, a safe place to renew, rebuild, and redeem hearts broken by abortion. The National Hotline for Abortion Recovery is 866-482-LIFE. And for local pregnancy resource centers in your area, visit healingafter.com and enter your zip code. And for those of you in high school and college, you can join me and get involved in Students for Life. This is a wonderful way for us young people to be involved in the pro-life movement. If you know someone who has had an abortion, don't buy them a gag gift and disguise it as a celebration. Treat it for what it is, a terrible loss. Go sit with her in her grief. Pray for her, remind her of God's redemption, and comfort her in her suffering. Offer your friendship and promise to help her find healing. No matter what stance you have on abortion, it should never be treated with such nonchalance as this piece did. And if you are considering an abortion, remember, circumstances change. You won't always feel this afraid. And there are so many options and resources for you, such as adoption. My sister is adopted, and I cannot imagine my life without her. Her life is a gift to us. You have the power to choose life. And where there is life, there is always hope.
Oh, what's that girl's name who stood up and talked about climate change? It was all angry at Bromberg or whatever her name was. I'd listen to this girl a lot quicker than her, wouldn't you? It's something that our culture. It's something that we need to wake up to.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name.
I'm in the school district pretty regularly, and I haven't heard anyone really promoting it in our area.
Jesus, your name.
I'm sure it is.
Break every stronghold. Jesus, your name.
When articles like that, young people are hearing.
Jesus, your name.
We have politicians. There was a women's march yesterday. There was one in New York.
Jesus, your name.
They were out. I've been several weeks.
Jesus, your name.
So I didn't see how many were. They were saying we're out to the women's marches yesterday, but I guarantee there'll be more out there. Richest man, just go down to D.C. It's an amazing time. I imagine President Trump.
Jesus, your name is
several times, James Dobson.
Jesus, your name.
They rather listen to 4,000 or 5,000 women who are marching in the streets.
Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name is holy.
This is what's being pushed.
Name is holy. Jesus, your name is
holy. But it's getting bad.
Jesus, your name is holy.
It can only be able to close our eyes. Thank you. She came out. I heard her on Family Life the other day. Perhaps you heard that interview. She said, talk about sacrifice of life on some sort. I want you to think on Friday and be glad. But she said, that's what I'm doing. She's a march and a song. We're going to have a next week when we look at it. I'm going to be sharing kind of for tomorrow. Luther King's
I have it.
Jesus, your name.
And I would love to see our church have a sponsor of Christ's Pregnancy Center. We don't have one in our area. Or have funds set aside for young girls who are facing that question of life or abortion. Choose life or abortion. You can get an abortion for $300 or $400. But if you want to go ahead and have a child, it's going to cost you thousands. Perhaps as a church, we need to get involved in girls' lives and say, hey, we'll help you cover that. If you choose to have that life and we want you to, we'll help you financially. I would love to see us be able to do that. But before we come to prayer, we have a list of things we're going to close in prayer this morning. As I was preparing this week, I remembered a song from Promise Keepers. It was one of my favorite songs, and I'm going to tell you, you're not going to probably remember all the words, but this song was taken to mind. We did the Million Man March, we did the Million Man Promise Keepers back in the day.
Jesus,
Ryan, go back and see if there's one that's an R in here. Jesus, your name is... yeah, it'd be that top one there. This song, we heard guys humming this as we were eating lunch. We sang this early in the morning, but it's called Jesus, Your Name. And it's Jesus, Your Name is Life. If you'll pick up on it. It's only like a 2.5-minute song. You'll pick up on it. So sing it out when you know it. But it's a powerful song, and this is what we're going to be praying, that Jesus, His name is life.
Jesus, your name is power. Jesus, your name is might. Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name is life.
Jesus, your name is power.
Name is power. Oh, yes.
Jesus, your name is mine.
Name is mine.
Jesus, your name will break every stronghold. Jesus, your name. Your name is sight. Jesus, your name will free every captive. Jesus, your name is life. Jesus, your name.
Words of that, it breaks every stronghold. And that's what we're going to be praying this morning. This is This prayer list is, I'm just going to put them all up. I thought I did it that way. Rather than going through them one at a time, this is from a combination of the Sanctity of Human Life page as well as Focus on the Family. Some of the things they're asking us to pray for. Unborn lives in the womb today. Kind of along with this. Birth parents facing decisions. Pray for the safety. People have said the most secure place should be the womb, and it's not. It's probably the most dangerous place in the world today. Birth parents facing decisions. Are they going to do it? Supreme Court to vote for life. Post-abortive parents to become a voice for life. So many young women I've talked to and ministered to with over the years as youth pastor and just meeting young women who've had it, had an abortion. Most are not going to be up like some of our movie stars who are out and cheering about having an abortion and laughing about it. And like our friends to the north here in New York, when they voted that abortion was going to be a legal thing in New York, they had a big party and celebrated in the governor's office. Women regret it. The salvation of abortionists, that's something I don't often do, but we need to pray for that. Adoption seen as an alternative. Wednesday night we had on the board as we prayed that some way that women who are making that decision, pregnant girls who don't want to keep their child, would meet adoptive parents. Because as we said, it should be a lot cheaper to adopt than it is. $10,000 to $40,000 to adopt a child, $400 to abort it. But there are women, men and women, families who are waiting to adopt even at that tremendous cost. Pray that that these girls would meet families who are waiting. And then Crisis Pregnancy Centers to see more girls come to Christ. I just want to just spend a few minutes. I don't know who's going to be willing to pray. If you don't pray, if you're not comfortable praying out loud, please try it. Because if you can't pray in front of your brothers and sisters in church, you're not going to be doing it. You're not going to be praying effectively for the world, I don't think. So let's spend a few minutes here in prayer before we go down for our fellowship time. But there's a whole lot more things that we can be praying for. But these specifically are what they're asking us to pray for on Sanctity of Life for 2020. So just do a sentence prayer. Maybe pray for a couple of these. Have as many people pray as we can. But this is serious business, folks. We're talking and praying to the one who can break down all those strongholds that we just sang about. All right, so I'm going to probably pray a couple times, but I'll pray at the end, and then we'll dismiss.